Hey everyone, this is Chris.
And Lorenzo.
And welcome to our Best of Saturday series. Now that we have hundreds of episodes, we get a lot of listeners asking us where to start.
So we'll be selecting some of our most popular episodes to share each Saturday from our years of podcasting. We hope you enjoy it.
No role plays, just real. Chris and Lorenzo share four decades of combined experience to help you become a more effective leader.
We've never really, as a workforce, spent a lot of time on making sure we're developing good leaders.
We'll be able to share stories, experience, mistakes, failures, successes.
This is Hacking Your Leadership.
Welcome to Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lorenzo.
And Lorenzo, yesterday I was looking at a discussion forum on LinkedIn. And the topic that was being discussed was titled, Trust is Built and Destroyed Every Day. Hmm. And I liked the topic. Some of the comments were great. Some of them were not as great. But it instantly made me think of an analogy that I like to use. And that's that everybody has that one friend where if you were meeting them for lunch at noon and they weren't there at 12:10, you would assume they got hit by a car or were dead because yeah. They're just never late like that. And then everybody has the other friend where if there's a noon lunch, you just continue playing on your phone at 12:30 because you know that's just, you know, they'll be here eventually. Mm-hmm. That's just who they are. And why do we know that? Why do we know that one friend is probably dead if they're 1 minute late and the other friend is just, yeah, whatever? It's based on the previous interactions that we had with them. Mm-hmm. And the more interactions we have with a person, the more that picture of them that we have in our mind gets built up. Mm-hmm. The less interactions we have with somebody, the less of a picture gets built, which means each interaction is kind of taken as the summary of who that person is, as opposed to potentially something that is an anomaly or that isn't who they really are.
Sure.
And when it comes to trust being built every day or destroyed every day, I think this is vital because the opinions that your people have of you are only based on the last few interactions they had with you. So they care less about how you treated them 2 years ago than how you treated them over the last 2 months. And I think where leaders really get hurt by this is I think they put a lot of focus and effort and attention into maintaining the relationships with people they work with most often, because those are their people, their go-to people, their direct reports. They see them several times a day. They interact with them a lot. So they put a lot of effort into making sure that the trust, the relationship and the trust is there. Mm-hmm. They might have other people who either are two or three steps down the hierarchy or down the org chart from them. Maybe they interact with them weekly or monthly or less than that even. And they put less effort into those relationships in terms of maintaining the trust and making sure that those employees trust them. But the less interaction they have with those people, the more imperative it is that every single one of those interactions is perfect. Mm-hmm. Because the person who you work with every day, if you have a bad day or you say something you shouldn't have, you say something that was taken the wrong way, if that's the first time that's happened after months or years of a great relationship, that person doesn't care. It's water off a duck's back, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
If the person is someone who the last time you interacted with them was 2 months ago and you say something that they don't like, then what happens is that becomes the picture of who you are to that person. And if your next interaction with them isn't for another 2 months, then they are disengaged. They are not giving their best. Whatever it is that kind of rubbed them the wrong way, that's what they will carry with them. And I'm wondering, do you have any experience with this? Because I know you have people that report directly to you, people who you interact with every single day. And there are people who, just based on how the schedule works, people who you have, you know, casual relationships with, maybe you don't interact with them personally more than, you know, once every few weeks or once every month.
Absolutely. No, it's funny, as you were walking through it, I was thinking about a lot of different ways and examples of, you know, would I say that I have intent behind making sure I do that? Maybe not in a way where I'm consciously figuring like, wow, I haven't seen that person in a couple weeks. Let me go over there right now and make sure that I have a fantastic interaction with them. Right? Like I don't think that way. But I think that you're spot on and right, because those that I spend the most time with have the most context in who I am as a leader, the conversations that we have, how they can trust me,
exactly
the things that I'm aware of, the ways in which I offer support. They're the most comfortable, you know, sending me a text message, making a phone call, asking for partnership, because that relationship has been built over the time. And so for those that I don't see as often, it can feel different, you know, to them, and maybe I don't feel as accessible, and they don't see me as accessible as other people see me. But I absolutely think that my process in trying to work that out is making sure I'm heavily involved in the hiring process, and that I get my time with all those individuals as they enter into a company. Because I think that starting off with that right foot and having a great interaction to begin with and explaining yourself, and then as I've spoken about in the show before, things like role-playing and spending time with them right when they get into the mix, and allowing them to see you be vulnerable, allowing them to see you have some, you know, some humility, allowing them to see you make some mistakes and provide you with feedback, I think those things build that relationship very quickly and very tightly, where as new people coming into the organization, that bridge is open and they feel comfortable. And, you know, you can get away with maybe walking by somebody, not saying hello, not shaking their hands because you're on a phone call, and they don't take it the wrong way. Because when you walk back out, or you say that later on, you give them a high five, it's all good. But there are absolutely people that, as I'm reflecting on that I need to do a better job in making sure that when I see them, not as often as others, that I make sure that I approach them and say hi and ask how they're doing and start to build some of that relationship, even if it's in smaller chunks.
Yeah, I remember the Strengths Finder thing that I did, and going through my phone call with the person from the Gallup organization where they explained how my top five strengths relate to each other.
Yep.
And it was an invaluable phone call. I learned more from that phone call than I did on doing the test to begin with.
You and I talked about that many, many years ago. Yep.
Right.
We both had the phone call. Yep.
It was great. I got a lot out of it. And one of the things they said to me was that based on my top five, one of my top five is strategic and the other is command. And the person I spoke with said that having both of those two things together means that I am more likely to let things roll off my back, not take things personally, but I'm also more likely to not naturally empathize with the people I'm talking to ensure that the things that I say, if they are interpreted the wrong way, roll off their back as well. And when I'm going through this conversation, I immediately thought of an employee who I just kind of felt like there wasn't a good relationship there between myself and them. The last few times that I had spoken with them, it was short one-word answers from them. They just seemed like they were just not very engaged. And the first thing I thought of was, when was the last time this relationship did feel good? When did it go back in time to when it did feel good? And I remember it feeling good. I remember there being a good relationship there. And if a relationship is good at one point and then turns to cold, something happened. You know, it doesn't just happen out of the blue. And I took it as an opportunity to sit that employee down and say, hey, just want to clear the air here. This is what I'm feeling like right now, but I didn't used to always feel this way, or I haven't always felt this way. Can we talk about this just a little bit? Am I completely off base here, you know? And they replied with, actually, yeah, you know, you said this to me last year, and this and I didn't like it very much, and the what I had said wasn't meant to be taken poorly, but it was taken poorly. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't stop to ensure that that employee had taken it correctly, the entire time from that point on until this moment, which was, it had happened the previous year, but it had probably been about 4 or 5 months. I just started like lamenting all of that time that employee maybe tried less hard, was less engaged, less productive, because they didn't trust me or didn't think I was a good leader for them. And it just, it really set me straight on the concept of ensuring that the employees I deal with least often, that I am very cognizant of how every interaction goes, because how much of a lasting impression it can leave.
No, and I think too, even with those, either way that maybe you don't have a lot of time with, but even with those that maybe you've built a good relationship, you've had some good time, you've had some good interactions, you know, I immediately thought of the times when the relationship and the trust was tested the most. And the majority of time in my career when that happened is when, as a leader, you made a decision that was against the decision that the employee wanted to make or that they made, right? Aww. And most of the time that played out in customer, you know, service scenarios, right?
Sure.
The employee feels strongly that we should or shouldn't do something for a customer. And most of the time, not all the time, most of the time that decision is based on emotion or the negative interaction they had with the customer. Right.
Right. Which sometimes is okay, actually.
Absolutely. Right. Right. Like there's a piece of that absolutely, you know, how a customer acts many times will define the level of service in which I will provide them, or my asking them to leave the store.
Correct.
And trespass them out of the store, like whatever that case is. Right. Like those things happen. But I think many times as a leader, when that trust is challenged the most is in those times when there's a larger picture. There's something there that was not discovered by the employee. There's a part of the situation that we own as a company, whether we did it or not, or some other department or some other person within the organization made a promise or commitment, and we have to hold fast and make that commitment, you know, a reality for the customer. When the employee feels like you've gone against them or you didn't support them in the moment, those times are absolutely critical that you circle back around. Like literally saying like, we need to talk about this, right? Because I want to make sure that you understand that I support you. I have your back. You make fantastic decisions. Like, you know, like you have to have that conversation as a leader, and you have to be ready to take feedback, and you have to be really ready for them to say like, you know, I feel like you just didn't have my back. And you have to, as a leader, say, you know what? Then I will own that and I apologize, because I never want that to be the case.
Well, you have to ground it in the why. You have to ground it in why you made the decision to go against them.
And that's exactly where you go with it, right? Like, let me and let us talk through this so that in the future, like, we don't have to go through this again, right? You really have to take the time in there. And I think, like, when you started off the episode talking about, like, you know, trust is lost every day. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Trust is gained. And then in parentheses, it says, or destroyed.
Or destroyed, right? Exactly.
Earned or destroyed. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Like, and that's so true, right? Like, those are the times in my tenure and experience where I felt that just that glit, you know, that gaze from 10 feet away from that employee that just says, I can't believe you just did that, right? And then having to go and have that conversation, but that conversation is imperative to making sure that even if that trust maybe took a little bit of a hit that day, it wasn't destroyed, and that you can show up the next day and make sure that everything is going forward and that you're progressing positively together.
Well, if the why behind your decision is a good one, it may prevent any destruction of the relationship or trust to begin with.
Right.
So the emotion of the moment could lead. I mean, this is a very out there example, but you know, if a customer comes and wants to return something, and it's been 3 days, and treats the employees like, you know, crap, the employee says, yeah, I don't think we should allow this return. It's like, well, you know, our printed return policy is 30 days or 14 days, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
We can't just start arbitrarily stopping customers from doing things they're entitled to simply because they're not nice people. We can not go above and beyond if that's the right thing to do at the moment, but we don't get to, you know, start charging more for them for the just this one person or changing the return policy, you know, stuff like that. And a lot of times the emotion of the moment can get in the way of those decisions from employees who are affected by it. And as the leader, you have to be more pragmatic and you have to be able to look at it through through the non-emotional eyes. But if you do a good job of explaining the why behind it, not just, oh, I wanted that customer to be happy. It's like, no, it's not. You didn't do it because you wanted the customer to be happy. You did it because you have a legal obligation to uphold what is stated on paper. But you can tell that employee you were seething the whole time you did it, wishing you could kick them out and not do it and not have to do that for that customer. But for whatever it is, it doesn't have to destroy trust just because you went against what they would have done.
And I think in the example or think of an example of leaders like leading leaders, right? I think that where trust gets destroyed the most, in my opinion, is when leaders make commitments or tell another leader that reports to them that these things are important, that I'm writing these things down, and then there's no follow-up. Like there's so much around, you know, I think of when I have conversations with leaders around their personal development and spend time, and this is something that I've borrowed from a mentor, a leader of mine, around moving away from technology and actually getting back to writing stuff down, right? With a pen and with an open book and a blank page.
Right.
And just doing that, the action of doing that, what you get in the conversation, what you get in the notes, what you get in the takeaways, in my opinion, is A, much more powerful, and B, you just remember things so much clearer when you write things down versus type things into technology. And so I've taken that away. I've taken that as a really good thing to do. And the reaction that I've got from leaders is that they really appreciate that just because of the act of taking the time to start with the blank page and saying, like, we're going to talk today. And like the what we talk about is going to guide this conversation, is going to fill this page with the things that we're going to do around your development. But the minute that the next time I sit down with that leader and I don't open that book and review what we talked about previously, I devalue the entire system and I lose trust.
Or if you open that book and it's the first time you've opened it since the last conversation, you've done nothing towards working right towards those things. Because
exactly,
writing it down is only half of it. The other half is actually doing something about it, right?
Absolutely. Right. Having notes in there, referring back to it, you know, when you're providing examples or you're talking about themes of behavior, it's really important that the next time you sit down to your exact point that you actually have examples. Let's talk about where we were at. And now let's talk about, you know, what I've observed or what we've seen since then. You know, how do you see it? Here's how I see it. You know, how do we want to move forward? But yeah, I think when it comes to leaders leading leaders, that to me is the thing that probably drives the most, outside of like integrity issues. I think just the lack of follow-up to commitments is probably the thing that kills trust the quickest.
Well, it's the thing that can derail a relationship when the intentions are great. So when you're talking about hypocrisy and integrity issues, those are rooted in negative intentions. So you know, those are bad leaders anyway. But the leaders who fail to follow through, they may not have bad intentions. They may have the best of intentions, but that doesn't mean they're not going to kill the trust anyway because of the lack of follow through or follow up.
I completely agree. And with that, time for this episode's 1 minute hack.
The 1 minute hack.
Okay, for this episode's 1 minute hack, in spirit of your suggestion of writing things down and maybe not depending on technology as much, what I want you to do is write down a list of all the people that not just report to you directly, but people who are one step below those people as well, regardless of how many there are. And that could be dozens of people or 100 people even, if you want to go one step below your direct reports. And then in your notebook, you're going to keep a record of the last interaction you had with them, just by a date. Write the date down next to that person, the last time you interacted with them. And you want to make sure that nobody on that list ever goes longer than a certain amount of time. And it can be something that you pick yourself based on the business needs and your time constraints, but it shouldn't be a year, you know? It shouldn't be several months. It should be more often than that. And this becomes your opportunity to ensure that the trust is strong, the relationship is strong, when you may not have had an intentional need to interact with that employee. So make it intentional, interact with them intentionally, because if for some reason they did have a bad taste in their mouth from you, from the last interaction you had, this is your time to solve it and fix it. Because if you don't, they're going to be disengaged, they're going to be unproductive or less productive than they could be until that next interaction happens. So make it on purpose.
Yeah, no, I like that 1 minute hack. You know, it can be a lot of work. It can be a lot of people on that list. It can be a lot of heavy lifting. But the having the intent to try to do that, I think even if you never get to 100%, just the act of doing that within your organization, that will A, increase the trust amongst, you know, those that work directly for you and maybe a layer down, but also people talk, right? And people appreciate that. And people then start to say like, wow, I had a great conversation with Chris the other day. And, oh, you talked to Chris? Like, yeah, he came up to me and we had a little conversation. Well, great. Like, maybe I'll go talk to Chris, right? Like, it opens the doors to approachability as more and more people see you interact that way with people. So I love that idea. Right when you said it, I was like, man, that's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of time. But I like I said, even if you don't achieve the whole thing, just the act of trying, I think will be a fantastic game changer in making sure that, you know, you're not unintentionally burning some of those bridges in regards to trust.
Right. Great leaders want their people to talk to each other about their leadership, because if they know they're doing a great job, if they know they're strong in it, they know that the gossip that happens around it will be positive and will spread and will help in their efforts to build trust with people they don't interact with as much.
Absolutely. And with that, it brings us to the end of another episode. This is Hacking Your Leadership. I'm Lorenzo.
And I'm Chris.
And we'll talk to you guys next time.